Brand new week here on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Glad everybody's along for the ride. Trade deadline week.
Big week.
Will Leaf fans get that trade that will make them sleep better at night?
No. Did I ruin the whole week? No.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jen Rolnick with you for the next hour on our Leaf edition of our program. We're live on Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus 4 to 6. And if you can't catch us live, always a reminder to download us wherever you get your pod. And remember, text us all week, 590, 590. Love to hear your thoughts and ideas on who should stay, who should go, what gets your team ready for game one, puck drop Stanley Cup playoffs. So with that, do we take an overall view of the weekend led by the Leaf win over the New York Rangers, 4-3 in a shootout, before we get into more objective look at where the Leafs are heading towards this trade deadline on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern. Mm-hmm. Let's get your thoughts, JB, first on the game.
You know, I'm starting to believe in these Maple Leafs a little bit.
Whoa!
I know, I am. I mean, guys, they've won 9 of their last 10.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of squint and see the shape of a team that is good.
Don't go ruining a good thing on the trade deadline and changing up
that.
The chemistry. JB wants as is.
No, I see a shape of what it could look like when a team is winning. When you have a line that's as good as Matthews and Marner are right now, they can play with you, me, or Sam on the other side, and they're pretty good. No, they're ridiculously good. And then the third line with Tavares, McMahon, and now Yarncroak. Croak. I don't even know how to say it anymore.
Yarncroak.
You know, it's a good line. Like, I really like the way they're all kind of hungry workers. You know, they can get in on pucks. They all like to shoot it. I like that line a lot. I kind of like how the fourth line looks. I don't know. The goalies are playing pretty well. Too positive a start to the week. What'd I do?
Okay with it. Well, you know, I went to the game Saturday night.
Yeah, you sure did. We saw you on television.
Okay, first of all, why are people paying so close attention to the anthem?
Wow,
when the building's dark and you're scanning into the stands, why are people like paying attention to that?
The funny thing to me is like I got 100 texts about that.
Yeah.
Like Kipper's, I'm like, Kipper's on TE every single day. Like it's like, yeah, it goes to Leafs games. It's not that big a deal.
But that's not Hockey Night or Sportsnet putting me on. That's just scanning the crowds.
Somebody knew you were there.
Yeah. Whoever's got behind that the camera goes, there's a guy people know.
You mentioned how you're feeling good about the Leafs.
Yeah.
As I was walking into the station today in downtown Toronto.
Yeah.
Wasn't feeling like trade deadline week. It was feeling like the first round of the playoffs week. The weather's nice. It's 14 degrees.
Yeah.
I'm wearing barely a sweater. You know, the Leafs are playing high-octane games against good teams. I'm like, is it time? Can we fast forward here? I'm ready to go. But
not past this week, but yes, I feel the vibe.
Saturday night, I just thought it was awesome. I just thought it was an awesome game.
It was a good feeling in the building as well.
Was it?
And I got to be honest with you. I mean, Matt Rampe and Ryan Reeves was like the cherry on top of a sundae to go to the game.
And it was, you know, highly advertised. And I think the crowd booed the first time they were on the ice and didn't fight. I don't know. I could be wrong and maybe having heard that. But, like, they had people's attention going into that game. I mean, hell, we were talking about it a week prior.
Everybody.
The shift they did fight, there was a loud ovation when they were both on the ice.
Yeah.
It was because they weren't on the ice a whole lot together.
Enough.
I made it a point to sit in the stands.
You did.
And I love our alumni box. In case you don't remember, it's really cool in there, right?
Yeah. We don't get to watch
with
the game.
The great chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, but you're not watching the game in there, bud.
But it's tough to watch the game.
Yeah.
Sam's right.
There's too many distractions.
It's like, what else can I eat?
People want to chat.
That isn't nailed down. And then, you know, there's great energy in the building because players, bring guests. There's corporate people in there. So pictures, lots
she's,
of pictures.
She's a little schmoozy.
Which is fine. That's what it's for. Yes. It's supposed to work that way. But it's hard to watch the game sometimes.
Not for a professional hockey analyst like yourself. It is not perfect
right.
conditions.
For Lou Francis Giddy, all day long, yes. chocolate chip cookies.
You got it, Lou.
Mike Krushelinski, chocolate chip cookies.
Eat them.
I'm a professional analyst.
In theory.
I wish I was them some nights.
Yeah, no kidding.
Focusing on the chocolate chip cookies. But I wanted to sit down below and just watch the whole vibe of the game. But I can't tell you the number of people on my way to the seat through the corridor who are were like, it's just, are they going to fight?
Rampage.
They didn't even mention anybody's name.
Yeah.
Are they going tonight? Yeah. Are they going to fight? That was hundreds walking through the corridor. And I'm like, man, is this,
what do we
is this 1980s
that?
Again? But that was, we all know politically correct today is like, this guy's going to hurt himself. He's going to, it's not good. It's we know the narrative, but it's almost as if for that particular night, nobody wanted to hear it. Everybody just,
we do not agree.
Everybody just felt like, this is what we're coming to see on top of the hockey game.
And there may have been some disappointment if they didn't fight. What's interesting is that I don't think Rempe in particular went into the game being like, we have to fight. You know, Reeves mentioned in his quotes after the game that he had there was so much buildup for it that he asked the kid in the first shift if he wanted it, and the kid said no, because the game didn't warrant it at that point.
Well,
Reeves said that was fine.
Listen, he's...
And then Rempe ran the guy.
Has he turned 22 yet?
No.
He's 21 years old. He doesn't know what... He doesn't have a clue on how at the NHL level or... You know, to carry that type of weight on your shoulders for the New York Rangers, how it works. He's just trying to figure it out as he goes along.
Yeah.
Everything he's done up until this point has just been kind of like a raw emotion from him to go out there and do what he did.
Yeah, show he's willing.
This one in particular, even when we saw the fight, it was almost as if he needed his parents' permission.
Oh, and he probably did, though, Kip. You know, I'm sure you played, and your coach says, we don't want you doing that tonight.
So there was...
He looked to the bench.
There was that
before
sense.
He got the green light.
Yeah. He for looked, sure.
Yeah.
It was like stealing a base. He was just like...
yes.
Like,
is that bunt?
It
bunt
was
fight.
Really, like, if I would have had money bet on when the fight would take place,
yeah,
I would have said... 5 minutes in, 10 minutes again.
Just do it.
First period. The Leafs were up, if I'm not mistaken, 3-2.
Yeah, there's about 10 minutes left in the third.
No, less than that.
Was it I mean, less?
Maybe 5 or 6.
When they fought, it was about 6 minutes
left. Oh, okay.
Six minutes left. Like, even in my day, that was one of those where you don't necessarily want to think about possibly changing the momentum, taking a penalty, whatever the case is. You just don't see those type of fights that late in the period or in the game when especially the home team's up.
Yeah.
But, you know, it still happened. It gave people in the building something to talk about.
Yeah.
And it was a spirited bout.
And I think there is some measure of it's reasonable to say, you didn't want to go through that game allowing Rempe to take out one of your players with a brutal charging play and say it's okay, right? It became a relevant thing to have a fight with the gentleman.
Speaking of which, now if I want to switch it over to Ryan Reeves, for me, that fight came too late for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Right.
And it was upon... His job would have been probably to try to get him to think about more about me coming after him throughout the whole game. I just thought there was too many lulls. I thought Ryan Reeves gave too many lulls into him to think that he could still go out there and take 40-foot runs at my players.
And to be clear, that was the second one at Labushkin. He took another big one.
The first one, which I absolutely hated, was at the halfway mark of the hockey game.
Right.
Shesterkin started a breakout, gave it to Rempe at the hash marks. That guy skated the length of the ice, dumped it into Labushkin's corner, and did the whole thing over again. Had a 100-foot run at him.
Teed off on him.
Now, this is where I've got an issue with Ryan Reeves. You were on the ice when that happened. You got to skate right over to him, okay? I don't know why Ryan just allowed that. Like, that's where you got to... The fight's okay. It entertained people. I stood up. I clapped, whatever. But the fight was... It didn't serve any purpose for the game.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
It just served a purpose for entertainment.
Okay, we did this,
and yeah, and then you flex your muscles, you know, and you're in the penalty box telling the crowd to get ready. But in the meantime, Labushkin's already out of the game because he got run by the human missile, which you were supposed to be out there to deter.
Yeah, I remember as it happened, I was like, I think Reeves was towards the end of a shift the first time. And I was like, maybe he didn't want to go do it, you know, with while you're out of gas or something. But to your point, you just want him to go over and have a chat.
I get that. But that's where you need a little bit of help of Sheldon. Like Sheldon was, I think, matching lines. And I don't see Rempe on the ice and not have Ryan Reeves out on the ice.
So
I get it. I get it. It was the end. Possibly he was out there for 30 or 40 seconds.
Yeah.
But I need you out there when he's out there.
Yeah.
And I need you talking to him saying, you're not doing what you did to that Bastion, Nate Bastion of New Jersey. You're not doing it tonight. So every time he's on the ice, you're on top of him. You're talking to him. Like, I'm not allowing you to skate 200 feet to run Labushkin. So he runs Labushkin in the second period, and he's thinking he's got a credit card to go get him later on in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he did.
And he did.
He did.
He did.
But so he,
bad
I mean,
hit, by the way.
Do you think if he fought him early in the game, though, he doesn't do it? Probably not. Probably still does it.
Listen, maybe you're right.
Yeah.
Maybe
but
you're
I
not.
Will tell you the percentages go up significantly if he did fight him earlier that he wouldn't.
Yep.
Because I've been in fights. I was a well-conditioned guy. I won awards. I was in shape, man. There were some fights I was into early in a game when I knew I was done for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
Spent.
Adrenaline
couldn't even,
burst.
Couldn't even lift my arms up, right? Tweaked something. I just don't have it to go run around the rest of the game.
Yeah,
for sure. No, I get
that's you. That's where Ryan needs to get to him earlier to remind him that you're not having your way with our guys. You're not coming in like this human missile to run our players. I won't have it. I just think there was a lull too much in the game that pushed it towards the last 5 minutes when Labushkin's done. And, you know, it sounds like he's back. Yep. Sounds like he's okay, which is great. But could have separated his shoulder just as easily as...
Yeah,
and giving him a head injury, as Sheldon described it after the game.
Yeah, you said we have a Sheldon on Rempe, right? Is he?
Well, it's on. There's two. There's what do I got here? Let me pull my lineup up.
And then we should also get back to the game after we finish this off.
Yeah. So you can talk about the Keefe clip 3 on the fight or the hit. You play the first one on the hit. It's short there, Derek. Clip 2
comes a long way, leaves his feet, hits him in the head, injury.
There's his breakdown of the hit.
Not a fan, hey?
Yeah, listen, it's an attempt to try to get a guy suspended. I get it. Why not?
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. And the one, if you want to play the 3 just on the fight to kind of wrap things up there on that.
Yeah, I thought it was good, especially considering, you know, guy knocks one of our guys out of the game. So we're starting to get up, like, injuring players. We're starting to get up as many as the fights now. I liked every vote stepped up.
Doesn't sound like he's a fan of Rempe. How'd you think he did?
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
He's a huge fan of Rempe.
Who?
Sheldon.
Yeah.
He just can't admit it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Everybody wants one of those guys right now.
Well, the Leafs going to have one. Reeves has been playing really good for a month.
Good. At least it gives you some sort of shot when you play a team like that, then you need a deterrent. You need something out there. And that's why New Jersey went and got McDermott.
Yeah. What do you think of the actual fight? Like, do you think
it was a great
Reeves
fight?
Reeves got him for sure for me.
I thought it took him a while to get the range.
Yeah. One.
And then he kind of found his range. I thought he maybe scored the decision at the end. But
like, poor kid got hit four more times.
Yeah, right in the face.
You know?
But I mean,
does it really matter, like, who at the end of the day on points?
Yeah.
Like, come on. No, it was a spirited fight. Both teams loved their player for hanging in there.
Oh, for sure.
Both
but
of
to your question, it does matter. Yes.
It does matter. For fans, it matters.
Is there an actual belt?
Well, to fans, there is, sure. You know, that's irrelevant. Did our guy win or their guy win in fights? If it didn't matter, I can tell you fighting would be a lot different.
Just as long as somebody didn't lose it badly.
Yeah.
That's
And to Keith's point about the hit and about the fight, it's like everyone's like, oh, this poor kid. You know, it's like, well, you know, he's running around nailing people into the boards. He's running around. It's not like he's
lose a lot of sympathy.
Like jumping
when you're
on the ice being like, oh boy, I better, you know, it's like he's running around the entire game.
The runs at Labushkin made him fully eligible to run.
Once again, being 6 feet up in the stands watching this game, you know, my first thought, this game's more dangerous than when I played.
Mm-hmm. Just because of the speed?
No, there's... We had holdups. We had guys running into each other.
Yeah.
I never had the chance to start up my own blue line
and just
go into a Labushkin.
Hammered him.
Untouched.
It was actually the most frustrating part of forechecking is when you would run on a forecheck and the D'd be in front of you just, all right.
So, again.
Full interference.
The hit that he had on him in the second period, Morgan's back there, and Morgan's just like,
pass.
I can't do anything.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Yeah.
And it was Cully. There was a second
Cooley.
Play.
Cooley
was
wanted
in there
to fight
too.
Reeves
it was
at
like
one
a
point.
Two. It was two of them crushing Labushkin.
Yeah,
two of them that had free range.
Cooley's a beast
we never
too.
Had that free range.
Yeah.
So, like, they got to fix this. I think they got to fix this. That guy's gonna hurt somebody really bad.
Rempe?
Oh yeah. It's
well,
coming.
He's trying.
So as long if he gets
trying to hurt
if he
people.
Gets a red carpet on every forecheck, he's gonna hurt somebody.
Yeah, he skates pretty well.
It was really nice when Willie put him on the ground there with that dangle. At the whole crowd was really into
just,
that.
The baby
and,
deer got
and one last suggestion, okay? Labushkin, get your stick up and make him eat it.
Yeah.
Okay. You see that guy coming, it is survival. That will be the best two-game suspension you'll ever take if you just turn around. And this guy needs it coming. This is what's going to slow him down eventually. Is someone's got to sit there and go, okay, here are my choices. Death or a two-game suspension.
You know, Kip, I had enough coaches tell me the exact thing you're telling him right now to know that in some cases, it's not the worst plan, you know, like not even that you need to do anything aside from just have it out to protect yourself because, he's intending to hurt you. That's self-defense at that point.
Just last quick thing on Rempe. I was listening to...
We've said that three times now.
I was listening to Bill Simmons' podcast, which is one of the most popular podcasts outside of ours, of course, but it's a massive American podcast and it's an NBA focus on a Monday. Does it with this guy named Ryan Russillo, who's also very popular. To my surprise, a 5 to 10 minute Rempe discussion on this podcast when they've never mentioned hockey before.
Yeah.
And they talked about it for a long time. They talked about how just in general, having similar conversations to everybody else. It's like, there's Connor McDavid's in the league. Connor Bedard's in the league. They're talking about this 6'7" guy from Alberta.
It passes the mom test, which is if you hear about it from your mom, it's in the mainstream culture. And it's like, how about this Rempe kid?
Boy,
you know,
his face is looking like a bag of tomatoes, though. He may need a healthy.
Give the kid a extend the visor down.
He's just a puppy.
Oh yeah,
he's a puppy.
He looks
and
like
I think,
a child.
Yeah,
Ryan Reese said it best. I think after the match, he's like wait. This guy's going to be a force.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right? He's going to be a menace, I think, is the word that he used.
So, non-Rempe thoughts from the game on Saturday?
All right.
Can I give you my first one?
Please do. We have so many to get to.
Well, is that I was happy for Tavares because I thought he looked more, not, of course, he's never going to be what he used to be, but I thought he looked way better playing with Yarncroc and McMahon as opposed to Robertson and McMahon. And yes. I felt that like maybe having a NHL caliber two-way winger with you as opposed to Nick Robertson, we were maybe doubting how much he had to do for that line. I thought he looked a lot better on Saturday night.
I agree. Like the conversations that we've had for the first 50 games is team A and team B, and now it looks like it's spread out.
Yeah,
that they're
I like that
better
observation.
Balanced yep. hockey club, and it's led by pushing Tavares down.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like Yarncroc, and I've not been Yarncroc. I've not been a huge Yarncroc fan yeah. over the years. You know, at times, I find him kind of pushing snow a little bit, but he's grown on me a lot more, and I can see Saturday night that he brought a ton
yeah.
you know, to the third line.
I don't think what's interesting is like they're almost not going to be a third line. Like they played more than the Domi line in that game, and I can see like it's almost like you have two different types of second lines. But what I like about it is you're not going to ask that line to score every game, but all three guys, when they get the puck in a dangerous area, are not afraid to shoot it. Yarncroc yeah. likes to shoot.
Yeah, no one on that line is going
to
pass.
No, and McMahon loves to shoot, and yeah. Tavares does too. So pucks are going to go to the net.
Yeah.
Tavares likes to go to the net, and McMahon's not afraid to be there. It's going to be offensively, it's going to be pretty simple. They're going to shoot pucks, and some are going to go in here and there, and some nights they're yeah. not. But I just like that. They're mature, smart players who forecheck whatever. It works for me as a line, and that's encouraging.
Just, you know, Tavares just has to do so much less defensively with Yarncroc as mm-hmm. opposed to Nick Robertson, where it feels like he's maybe had to do too much and he was fighting it, and it was looking bad.
Yeah.
That was very encouraging to me from Saturday.
Well, for Tavares, it's just going to have to be, again, accepting this role and understanding that it has to start 200 feet in your own zone. And in many ways, guys, when you're a top producing centerman, top three guy, and Willie was another great reminder of us for us Saturday night that these top players who always felt the need to produce can cheat every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And you're asking Tavares to go stop cheating, which probably been doing since he was 7 years old as a yep. Toronto Marley.
Yep.
And it's okay now. We got Yarncroc for the first time. There was a ton of energy Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get in the playoffs, to do it every other night and to hold that type of discipline. And you know, the one thing about Tavares is when he has legs, and we can all see it. You can watch the game and go,
tell pretty quick.
Tavares has got his legs tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be another key for me as a third line guy.
Mm-hmm.
Can he keep his legs? Because once they go, then he gets noticeably slower.
Shot attempts when their line was on the ice on Saturday were 14-2. So like he was skating well. Yes. It was going the right way.
Yeah, 14-2.
Yeah,
it felt similar to that.
Yeah.
He had jam. He had jam. He had legs. He lots of energy.
Yeah.
Those all three of those guys are just shameless shooters too, though. So that probably has a lot to do with that.
First touch.
Do you want to touch on speaking of cheating?
Wow.
The Willie stuff?
Sure.
I think praise be all around. You know, praise to Sheldon for sitting them down.
I haven't seen many more benchable offenses than that.
And praise be to Willie for not sulking, or, you know, he came back and he was great after he got back on the ice in the second period. Now, not praise for the flying of the zone, which is, I assume, where you're going to go with it.
Well, I think my beer league teammates would look at me on the bench and be like, Jesus, man.
That's a big loop.
Maybe get that.
That's a big loop.
Yeah.
Try stops and starts.
Yeah. That was not pretty.
Yeah. I'd be concerned, though, if I'm Sheldon.
With Willie?
Yeah, for sure.
That he does still do that?
Like,
I mean, he's, yeah.
It's not, you're running out of games here to get ready for the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And
at that point, it's 0-0 in the first period. It's not like he's pushing to catch up in the game, right?
Wasn't this stuff supposed to be kind of behind him a little bit this year? And he was having a really good year. And
he's,
then it kind of goes south a little bit.
A really good year.
He's getting rewarded. Okay. He's getting rewarded still in scenarios for me that aren't that well earned.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like the cheating.
Yeah.
And I've talked about it for the last few years. And now it's, for me, it's not a great look. You really have to clean this thing up. And I don't know if there's enough time to clean it up.
We'll say, the reason I appreciate the fact that he actually got benched for the half the period there is just a lot of people are like, that's Willie. You know, you live with the good and you live with the bad and take the good and whatever.
That was Sheldon for him.
For a lot of his career.
For a lot of his career.
Yeah. And so I think it's good that he's at least being like, well, maybe it is Willie, but maybe he should stop doing that. You know,
he also has 92 million reasons why he can just sit him down now.
Yeah. And 92 million reasons why Willie can come out in the second period and be like, oh, well, I'll get him next time, yeah. You know? Like,
he didn't have a very pretty line change either in the 3-on-3.
Oh, my God, in overtime, yeah.
Like,
yeah, that goes in.
You don't have the puck. They've got the puck in the neutral zone.
I see what he's thinking. He's like, I'm so close to the bench, I can get there. But they had rock-solid possession in a regroup. You can't just leave. It was pretty wild. That would be a story today for sure.
I don't know. Is there enough time for Sheldon to fix this? With Willie?
I don't know.
I mean,
is Willie ever going to be someone who's not Willie? Probably like, not,
It's like a...
He is what he is.
It's like a parent trying to discipline a kid like when he's an adult.
Willie's
like,
always the time needed to discipline, a little tightening.
The time to discipline is when they're young.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's been one of their best playoff guys, and he's on a 10-game point streak at the moment.
And he's so
tons
good. And he's
tons
so good.
He's sixth in the NHL in points.
And he's
Skipper,
so
he's
talented.
So good. Like,
too good.
So unbelievably
he's
good.
He's too good.
But, I mean, he's also playing on a line with two. Like, their line in general is cheating every
he's
shift.
He's so good that he thinks he can get away with this stuff.
Yeah, I hate that line.
He does get away with it. He does get away with it.
Well.
No, he does not get away with
finally
it.
Finally got benched.
Sam.
Yes. He's having this
They've
best
won
year of
one
his life.
Round.
Yeah.
Their whole careers. They're not getting away with it, Sam.
Yeah. Well, this year he's getting away with it, I'd say. I was the one coming in here after he had a slow start, after he signed the contract, worrying about him never trying hard again. Like, yeah. I'm not Mr. Willie, but it's just to me, it's like, Mr. Willie. I think it's a bigger, not that, you know, he made a dumb play. They got benched. He came back out and he played great and they won the game against a good team. Like, yeah. That's it.
They could have easily lost that game Saturday.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's any game. I don't know.
No. There's some games they're better and they deserve to win, Sam.
Yeah. And they were
and
good
usually
on Saturday.
That ends up in best of sevens. Yeah. The better team that deserves to win moves on.
That was a tight game. You know, a tight game where, I understand you don't want to be making those mistakes. Now, I do want to talk about the Domi line, but we are light on time. And I do think it's more important that we talk about Samsonov Wool. And what to do there. So tonight they play Boston. Have we seen it announced who's going tonight?
Samsonov, I think.
Do you know?
I hate it. I should say.
He was the first one off the ice.
Yeah.
And
Keith didn't
everything's pointing
after.
Towards Samsonov. And he's coming off a great effort.
So what?
So, I don't know, roll with it, I guess.
No.
Or another game where you don't have to push Wall. You can bring him along slowly.
He's healthy. He played 36 of 37 saves in the American League. Had an awesome game in his return. Think he's going to be your starter game one of playoffs?
I'm just trying to kind of see what Sheldon could be thinking seeing.
I think most people think what you think.
But when it's all said and done, like as great as he was Saturday, because there's some saves where there's like a yard sale.
Well, and the Trocheck goal is not great, right? Like the Trocheck goal is not great, not the tying goal, but the rush goal. Huh?
I don't think you had much of a chance in any of them.
Oh, yeah. He could have pushed across on that one. I didn't like that one. But anyway, I do think he played good against the Rangers. That's not even my point. My point is there is no time for kid glovesing Wool. He's going to get 10 to 12 starts before playoffs. Maybe against the Boston Bruins. He needs to start playing hockey that matters.
Maybe you don't want to show Boston Joseph Woll.
Are you even sure if he's able to do it? Like, we need to know. Put him in.
Oh, no. We know.
And he's going to be the guy game one for you, Joel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
See, he is for me, too.
Yes.
Then, to me, it makes no sense to not play him because he played on Thursday. It's his time,
right?
It's
his Leafs
turn.
Overwhelmingly believe that Joseph Woll is the guy, and we've got this.
So then it's
chart.
How do we get him ready April 19th?
But how do we get him ready for the game one of the playoffs? And that excludes showing him to the Boston Bruins tonight.
Two games against Bruins this week. He's got to get one.
To me, it's just that, you know, after the way he came back from missing that many games and just looked like a really good goalie,
yeah.
I'm not worried about how many he plays down the stretch. Like, I think you could play him.
He just needs enough to get ready. That's all.
Yeah, sure. Start him. How many games left do they have?
20.
If he plays less than half of the games, I'm fine with it. Like, I really don't care how many he
22.
Plays.
22.
Yeah, 22.
All I care is that he's in game one.
And as long as Samsonov has these type of games, he's 1B.
For sure. For sure. Like, hey, listen, don't get me wrong. It's very encouraging that Samsonov has looked this good. I think...
Still on a knife's edge for me.
Okay. Yeah, I know our boy Bunk is like a big fan of...
But any time it goes, it just... I watch the games, and I'm a fan of the team, and I can tell you who makes me feel very good and makes me feel very bad.
Yeah.
And one is Joseph Woll, and one is Samsonov, and I'll let you decide which way I'm going.
Yeah.
But it's very obvious who's better. And one guy may be playing better or one guy may be playing worse. But to me, game one.
Before we go to Jaffe, do you want to hear Keith on goaltending situation or is that not worth it?
Oh, sure.
No, it's good.
Let's have it.
Yep.
Clip 10.
You know, really for us, it's just, look, we got four games and six nights this week here. And we're going to need both goaltenders. So, you know, it's for us, it's just kind of about sort of playing the calendar and where the games fall and all of that. So, we got two guys that we trust and two guys. Well, Walls played one really good game, I guess two if you include just Marley's game. And then you got Samsonov that's been building some great momentum and playing very well. And then you have Wall, who we've got to continue to build starts and don't want him sitting for too long. So, you know, really it's just a decision for us based on the calendar more so, you know, the opponent or what's happening here.
So there you go. You get Wall on Wednesday against Buffalo.
Yeah, you give Samsonov Boston twice. He doesn't get him once. Like, I just think Woll should feel what it's like as well. Like, okay, on the power play, like, how quick do I need to be across on this Pasternak one-timer? I think a little exposure would help rather than throwing him in the batting cage at 100 miles per hour game one of playoffs. But
he's just good.
Yeah, okay, great. But he should play hockey.
Woll?
Yeah, he's just good.
No, he's calm.
But he hasn't played enough hockey over the last 3 years.
It's crazy how much belief I have in him when I watch him play.
Good.
Anyways, we should go.
Okay. Did you already tee up Billy Jaffe?
Semi.
NHL analyst with the Boston Bruins, NHL Network, host of the morning show Brew with Andrew Raycroft. He's up next. We'll tee up the Boston Bruins. More Real Kipper and Bourne after these words.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night, it's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Toronto Maple Leafs and the Boston Bruins set to battle tonight, 7 p.m. puck drop. Bruins coming down to earth a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
Judging on where we think the final standings will be, people envisioned a New York Ranger, Toronto Maple Leaf first round. Could you envision a lot more of the Boston Bruins and the Leafs facing off?
I seem to have some memories of these two teams playing.
They have played in the first round before, if I remember.
Yeah.
Detroit has lost a couple in a row. Leafs have won a couple in a row. It's making a wild card spot seem less likely for the Leafs, which means the Bruins much, much more likely.
Yes.
Here we go.
Yeah.
That's a yes.
Or maybe the Leafs should just start tanking a little bit.
Should they?
What do you think?
Nick Robertson's going to play goal next game.
Okay, as promised, Billy Jaffe will join us now, NHL analyst for Nesson, covering the Boston Bruins. Billy, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Living the dream here, buddy. How about you?
We're good.
Out there?
We're good. We're just envisioning a Toronto Maple Leaf Boston Bruin matchup. Let's put our surprise faces on. There's 32 teams in the league, and it's either Tampa or Boston.
I know. I still yearn for the 1-8. I do.
Yeah.
I do. I love that setup more, but I'm old enough to remember it now, which is sad that I can admit it. But anyway, it's the truth. But on the other hand, Toronto-Boston, if it does happen, and I agree with you guys, it's starting to feel like it's a spring reality, would be very interesting. The Bruins, you talked about coming back to reality. We're seeing, guys, a lot of teams in the NHL go through this year. I don't know if it feels a little more than normal, but maybe that's just short-term memory or long-term memory loss. You know, teams seem to be going through 5, 6, 7 game type stretches. Vancouver's coming to mind right now, for instance, more than typical, the top teams. But maybe this is just a market correction when it's all said and done.
Bruins losers 9 of 13 since the All-Star break. You got to go back a few years to see a stretch that bad, especially with their historic run last season here. What is the number one culprit?
Inconsistency. It's kind of a lame answer, but believe it or not, Kipper, they've had some real good moments of goodness, if not even greatness, if that's a term. You know, they've had periods that have been excellent. They were very, very good against Seattle. Lost that game though, 4-1 with them, but they were very good against them. But it's been an extreme inconsistent effort since the end of the All-Star CBA break. They were on such a strong run at that point. They had so much purpose. They seemed to have more, I'll call it purpose, more energy, more desperation than they do now to their game since they've come out of that elongated break. They've given up a lot of middle of ice chances. If you get into the analytics, the high danger chances, the zone entry stuff, but really middle of ice near the front of the net type chances. Right now, the last five, six games, guys, they've been missing Hampus Lindholm a lot. While he has not had what you would call the perfect year, the most scintillating year, he's had a really, he can eat minutes, 24 minutes a game. He can do it. And they've missed him lately with a lower body injury. But it's been inconsistent effort game in to game out, Kippy. That's been the big thing.
So what are your thoughts on what's going to become of their roster at the deadline? You know, we're kind of looking at these cup contenders and trying to figure out what they're going to look like a week from now. Do you see the Bruins making many, if any, changes?
It's a phenomenal question that I have a very lame answer to.
Okay.
I don't know yet. Yeah. Because they don't have cap space. I believe they're at $57,500 U.S. available right now, or basically what Kippy spends in a week, probably.
Okay, I don't think so.
We all wish, right?
Yeah.
They have nothing, guys, in cap space. Now, Don Sweeney and his staff are very creative, and in the years past, they have gotten a lot of stuff done that made a lot of us, I'm assuming you guys too, say, wow. I mean, you think the last year what they did, but they didn't have the cap restraints last year. We all know, you guys know, I'm sure you've talked about it. If they're going to make a significant move, even if it's not a mega move, but a significant move, we'll call it, it's going to mean that somebody off their roster, if not two players, are coming off it. They've got 5 or 6 UFAs to be. The biggest name is Jake DeBrusk. That's been talked about there. He's at a $4 million hit. But even if they move Jake, let's just say hypothetically speaking here, that's only $4 million. You got to probably move another player, guys. So they're going to have to make an awful lot of moves in and out to make things work. I guess, Justin, to really get to your question, the answer it is, The management's got to look at this team and maybe these next 3 games. So they go tonight, Toronto, tomorrow night at home, Edmonton, and then Thursday, Toronto again. You know, and they've got those 3 games coming up. Does that impact what Don Sweeney and his staff think that this team can do? Sorry for the lame answer, but I think that has to be taken into consideration.
For sure.
We're talking to Billy Jaffe, NHL analyst for Nesson, covering the Boston Bruins. So, yeah, I'm with you. We all hear Jake DeBrusk's name out there. And for a hockey club right now, Billy, that looks to be shaping up with the Toronto Maple Leafs for a first-round matchup. I don't know how you get rid of this guy, even if you got to rent him yourself the rest of the way. This guy is a proven playoff scorer. This guy, you know, has crushed the Leafs on a few occasions here. How do you move Jake DeBrusk? And what do you think you're going to replace him with?
That's, again, there's this is the last one that you just said right there. What are you going to replace him with? That, look, when Jake is on, he is on, right? We know that. We know that he is on. The problem is he hasn't been on as of late. The only points that he's had, I think it's since January 24th, if my memory serves correct, and it's not great, but yeah, January 24th, is one goal, one assist against the Edmonton Oilers recently when the team was in Edmonton, his home city, his hometown. He's a good player. He kills penalties real well. He plays on the power play, but he's not producing point-wise. So I don't disagree with you, especially when you if you're looking to move him just for draft picks, unless you're using his capital, Kippy, his monetary capital, to replace him with somebody else that you feel that you will get more out of. And I don't know how many of those guys are out there. I mean, are you swapping him for another UFA to beat? I don't know. I don't know if there's one. I mean, who's out there in that regard? Again, I don't remember all the whole list. But look, I like Jake. When he's on, he's on. I like him a lot. I love the kid. I think he's great. I would hope that if he gets hot at the right time, I hope in general from a Bruins perspective, because I worked so many games for them, that they're just going through a lull right now and they all get hot at the right time. I mean, that would be great. Right now they're not. But again, cliche or whatever you want to call it, better they're kind of struggling now than later in the year. The question is, do you believe, rhetorically asking, they can get out of this funk right now?
And then the strength of the team in the first portion of the year, goaltending has maybe not been as great since the All-Star break?
No, it hasn't, Jeff. Just like the rest of the team.
Yeah.
But I would say this. Defensively, they've given up more than these guys. These guys saved their ass a lot early in the season, Borny. They did. They kind of, you know, what is it called? You spackle over the wall a bit. You know what I mean? They did an awful lot of kind of plugging some holes for this team, both Omark and Swayman, early on in this season, for probably the first two-thirds. And now there have been a couple of goals here or there that you're like, oof, we didn't see those, but I'm fine with it still. They've done their job. Even you go back to the game on the island the other night, when they were down 3-0 to the New York Palmeiras, when he scored all three goals in 12 and a half minutes. None of them were really his fault. I mean, not when I say none, really. They weren't his fault.
Yeah.
I mean, these were high-danger area, like breakdowns, et cetera. So I don't know, man. Like the goaltending hasn't been as good. It shows how good it was earlier, too. But now, you know, the whole question about what do you do? If the Bruins are saying we like this team, but we're not sure how far they can go, then they will consider. And I absolutely think they will. If you're a GM in this league and you're not a good listener and not a good dialer of calls, and you know what I mean?
Yep.
You're not going to be a good GM. So I think you have to listen to everything. And that doesn't mean that you don't like your player. It doesn't mean you don't believe in your player. It means that you have to listen. I do think that there will be more moves made this year than people realize. I think enough teams lost the last few games that I think if they're going to look at themselves in the honest mirror and say, we're not that good, and except if their owners say, we need one round of playoff revenue, I think there's going to be a bunch of teams looking to make some moves because they have to get better. The Bruins are good enough, meaning they're in the playoffs. They're a good enough team to do whatever. But are they a good enough team to go far? That's what needs to be determined still.
Toronto Maple Leafs and the Boston Bruins get ready to play twice this week. Could be the preview that we look forward to in April. Billy, thanks for doing this, man. Really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Great to talk with you.
Okay.
Thanks, Billy.
Billy Jaffe. So, Jake DeBrusk.
Yeah. It's an interesting name.
Not ever considered like a top guy for the Boston Bruins, but one of those great third line depth guy that can move up and down the lineup. And I mean, proven player in the playoffs. Every year this guy's been in the playoffs, he's produced.
Yeah. I mean, he's 27 years old. You know, this year he won't be there, but he scored 25 plus goals in the league three times. in 73 playoff games. He scored 22 goals. Like, he's been there. He's chipped in when it's counted. So an interesting name who would be a value for sure. But to your guys' conversation, I don't see any way you move that out and get better in a year you're hoping to contend.
I think there's a ton of pressure on Sweeney right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And now you're in that between a rock and a hard place. Like, was my team ever as good as I thought it was in the last year and a half? Or do I have to go
goal
out there
tending
and do something?
Yeah. Well, interesting. I don't know what Lindholm's injury is or how long he's out for, but I sit here and I'm looking at what they're rolling out for a decor tonight. Three names, Shattenkirk, Wotherspoon, and Lowry, are not overly impressive to have as a part of a D. And if they're on the Leafs, we'd go on, boy, you know, a little thin. Grizzlick's playing top pair with McAvoy. Like, I know Lindholm's out, but I don't know. I've never seen this team as super formidable. James, JVR, Geeky, Frederick is a third line. Lauko, Boquist, Brazo. Like, they're okay, but, you know, they got work to do.
They'll feel the pressure tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until Pasternak shoots three in the net.
Anywhere you want to go before we go to break here?
I just quickly had said I don't like that Domi line, and then we kind of passed over it, and I wanted to get your thoughts before we go to break.
Let's go to – you want to hear Sheldon on Domi's
absolutely
line?
Yep.
Let's go to that. Clip eight.
It's just to recognize when it's time to defend, it's time to defend. That's really it. Like, we want them to push on offense, and they're great players. They've played well for us, but it's when it's time to defend, you got to dig in, you got to defend. Obviously, we get going on the offensive side there. That's the kind of stuff – that can't happen, you know, for all of our players. We need to be fully committed on defense when we're defending, and especially against good teams like this that counterpunch the way that they do. We made a mistake on the second goal as well, give up that odd man rush. You know, we lose numbers coming back through. Those are the kind of things that's, you know, we were able to recover from those, but, you know, those are, you know, the two goals. First two goals are something to me are mistakes that we can prevent or we can not make. You know, one I think the second one's pretty innocent in nature. The first one, I think, you know, we're cheating for offense there, and that's not the time or place.
Can you, if they're trying to get Willie not to cheat, can they get the whole line to tighten up?
Yeah.
In the next 22 games?
Yeah, I mean,
what are your choices?
No,
Jamie?
I know. Well, it's just getting someone with
Wenberg?
A conscience at center.
Wenberg?
I'm in love with that.
Adam Henrik?
Yeah, that helps.
It's too expensive.
Yeah, I agree. You know, there's no obvious solution. I'm not saying, like, how are you missing this? But I'd
rather see that go to the blue line than up front.
Yeah.
For me personally.
I just,
or unless you're all in,
guys,
go get Adam Henrik then.
These three guys together, though. To me, a big part of pro hockey is just identifying the game state. It's like, okay, we're in a breakout, so I go here. We're in D zone coverage, so I'm committed to this. We're in, you know, whatever. And I think they're constantly in, we're on offense. And how do I...
But the whole team's been built that way for such a long time.
Yeah, but so when you say but, it's like, well, that's a problem, right? It's an absolute issue. They've been on, Domi's line's been on for 8 goals against in the last 5 games and 6 goals for. So... it's just a high event line. A lot happens both ways. And you think of playoff hockey. Do you want a high event line against Florida, Boston, the Rangers? You want trade chances?
Feels like a line that their signature move is get hemmed in for 35 seconds and then get like a bounce and it goes the other way and they score in transition.
Right.
Feels like it happens a lot with
and
that
you'll,
line.
If you're like a fan of the team, you'll see them get chances all the time. You're like, these guys are dangerous. And it's they are both ways.
Would you agree with me that You have to find a way to get these guys to tighten up?
Yeah.
And you can't go back to John.
No, I agree. I don't even think Tavares is that great of a defensive conscience. So,
no.
Yeah.
This is unless you're adding Henrik or something, this is the second line.
And then the problem is if
you're
do
right,
add Henrik,
yeah.
You know, where's Domi? I don't know. It's tough. So you're right. The best chance is just to get them to sort it out.
All right. Just like that, our first hour is over. God, that went fast.
We could do another Leafs hour right now. I'm very confident we could do another full hour.
Well, we got another hour, but it's on the national scale here. Satchoff from Canucks Central will be by. We'll talk about Pettersson's new 8-year deal. We'll also get into Edmonton and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Plenty more on Real Kipper and Bourne. Do not go away.